The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
To read the scripture on today, again, to all of our guests and our visitors, thank you for your being here. Thank you for your being here. There is a word from the Lord. I ask God to give me clarity of thought and speech. The word is going to come from the book of Philippians, chapter 1. I know it'll be up here on your screen. And this morning I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Just for anybody, I know that we probably have some traditionalists, so of course you prefer King James and of course New King James. And I want you to understand that when I do my studying, I cannot read from some of these other translations, and so I do study from those. But every now and then, we utilize some other translations. But I want you all to know it, and I want to declare that we are in the Word of God. Amen? We are in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 1. And so I just challenge you, open up your own Bible, and you'll see the words. Philippians 1, starting at the first verse, it says, "This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." I stand here grateful for the 14 years that God has blessed me with. And it wasn't just this year, it's down through the years. God has been good. But I need you to understand that as good as our celebrations are and as good as our celebrations have been, God is not through with us. Come on, somebody. It still does not yet appear what God has in store, what he wants to do, what he will do with us, through us, and in us. Amen? And so again, I want you all to know that God is still God in the blessing business. Amen? And so on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject of being under construction. Amen? Do me a favor. Before you sit down, turn to somebody and say, "Neighbor, I am under construction." Yeah, turn to somebody else, whether it's in front of you, behind you, or next to you. Tell somebody else. Tell them, "Neighbor, I am under construction." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I'm going to make sense of it. My brothers and my sisters, depending on who you talk to, construction zones are not the places of peace and contentment. Most people will say that they are messed up places, that they are chaotic places, that they are dangerous places, and oftentimes unsightly places to look at. Construction zones have lots of bumps, lane changes, starts and stops, backed up delays. They are dirty, they're hazardous, they're noisy, they look disorganized, they come across confusing, they look untidy, hectic, and again, places from the outside looking in, places we would not want to be. Come on, somebody. However, if you are talking to the architect, if you're talking to the engineer, if you're talking to the designer, they will say that the construction zone is beautiful, despite all of the chaos that's going on. Why? Because they envision what the end product is going to be. Can I preach on today? They know what they are looking at. Watch this. I'm going to say something. I want you to write it down. They know that what they are looking at is the process of progress. There's a television show on cable called Property Brothers. And whether you've watched it or not, doesn't matter. The premise of the show is that the Property Brothers, they take a couple and they show them a house and they talk to them about how they can transform that house into their dream home. Now, most of the people looking at the house, they'll say, I can't see how you are going to take this space and turn it into my dream home. But the property brothers envisioned what the end product will look like, and they work to bring that vision into reality. The process of bringing that vision into reality is construction. I'm going to teach in this house. But the house is the construction zone. You just missed it. I'll say it again. I said the process of bringing the vision into reality is construction. But the house itself is the construction zone. Turn to somebody and tell them, neighbor, I'm under construction. Well, God has blessed me again. I say it again to celebrate my 14th Passover anniversary. Contrary to how it may look to you right now, spite of what it may appear to you, regardless of the smile that I carry on my face, and prayerfully the delightful, compassionate, and loving disposition that I try to demonstrate and present, beyond the suits that I wear and the robes that I wear, I need you all to know that I don't have it all together. I mean, you see me standing here, and I pray that what you see is good. However, what you don't see, Brown, and what some of you may not understand, is that what you are looking at standing here behind the sacred desk Sunday after Sunday after Sunday is a work in progress. Yeah, I too, you are looking at a construction zone. There's some hammering and some drilling and some jackhammering going on inside of here. There's some stuff that's taking place in the construction zone that actually should cause me to wear a sign around my neck that says, what you see is in me is process of progress. I am under construction. I don't have it all together. But I need you all to please be patient with me. God is still not through with me yet. As a matter of fact, that's the case for all of us, everybody here under the sound of my voice. We can all say, I don't have it all together. Doesn't matter what we look like. Doesn't matter how much we dress it up on Sunday. We got our Sunday's best. Come on, somebody. But we need to tell people to please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Paul said it like this. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he's saying, I'm not there yet. Yet I'm better than what I used to be, thank you, Lord, but I'm not yet what I shall be. In some people's eyes, he may even say, I look like a chaotic mess. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Say it with me. I am in the process of progress. I am under construction. That's right. That's right. From the pulpit to the door. We are all in the process of progress. Now, yes, we are at different levels in the process. And in our progress is different, sure. But we are all under construction. Now, let's look at that word construction. What does construction mean? Construction is the process of putting something together. It's building something for the purpose of something else. People build houses to live in. They build stores to shop at. They build stadiums to have sporting events, and they build churches to worship in. Amen. So what's progress? Progress is a movement forward towards a goal or something to a further or higher stage or level. It's growth or development. It's continuous improvement. It's the development of an individual, group, or society, watch this, in a direction considered more beneficial than the previous level. For example, there is good, better, and best. I need all my young people, y'all stay with me through here. There's good, there's better, there's best. So watch this. Good is good. Amen. Good is good. It's okay, but it's not as great as better. And better, although it's greater than good, it fails in comparison to the best. I mean, think about it. We've all been sick once before. If you've ever been sick and then one day you feel good, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The next day you hoping to feel better than yesterday. But then the one day you're hoping to get to be and feel your best. Amen. And that is the process of progress. Who in the world, when you've been sick and you say, well, I feel good, you want to stay on good? No. I'm trying to get better. And when I'm better, I'm trying to be back to being my best. So stay with me through here. You see, because the thing is, during the process of progress, because we have moved from good to better, we oftentimes will become complacent and settle for better instead of reaching or striving for the best. The Lord in our spiritual walk, the Lord in our spiritual growth, does not want us becoming comfortable with better. Come on, somebody. I mean, you don't have to scream as loud as the person did last week. See, some of y'all missed that. Y'all so quiet. Y'all didn't realize that there was somebody in here screaming. Huh? I mean, y'all don't have to scream at me as loud as she did, but if I need to borrow her, I will. Come on, somebody. But I mean, if I'm serving up, y'all know that term, right? If I'm serving up some truth for your spiritual feeding, I mean, there was a commercial, Brother John, I remember, for Campbell's Soup. They used to teach us, if you couldn't say nothing else when you was eating what you was being served, you could at least say what? Mm-mm, good. I say it again. During the process of progress, because we have moved from good to better, we oftentimes can become complacent and settle for better. Amen. Instead of striving and reaching towards the best. And sometimes in this spiritual walk, I'm talking to somebody, people progress from the world of sin to coming to church, and they settle because things are better than they were before. But they are not striving for the best, seeking the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. In other words, they have a form of godliness, but the first time that the wind blows comes up against them, they end up right back out there in the sin again. Why? Because they've settled for better instead of reaching for the best. I don't know if you've ever watched TV, or maybe you've been fortunate enough to own a boat, but it's great to own a boat and have it tied to the dock. But I've seen stories of boats that were tied to the dock. It even had a strong enough wind that came and blew, and the boat becomes detached from the dock. If you want to have your boat steady in the strongest wind, you better make sure it's anchored. That's the problem. We become tied to the church and not anchored in the Lord. But that's why I thank God that we are not doing this Christian journey all by ourselves. Now watch the text. Watch the text. I want you to look at the text. For we find here that text that Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. Paul is in prison. You know the biblical story. He's in prison in Rome, and all the churches, take reference to last week, all the churches that Paul started and helped have not supported him while he was in prison, not any church except for the church of Philippi. Understand today, Brian, I know you all had the prison ministry, that the prison in that day and age was not like the prison today. It wasn't run by the state, and the prisoners' rights were non-existent. If they wanted a pillow, if they wanted a blanket, if they wanted some shoes or a change of clothes, all of that had to come from outside. Those supplies had to be brought to them. And the people of the church of Philippi, they did just that for Paul while he was in prison. Therefore, what we have here in the book of Philippians, come on somebody, is that we are privy to is basically a thank you letter that is written to the church of Philippi in the concern and encouragement that Paul has for them. Now let's do this. Let's parse or let's analyze this portion of the letter. I hope you didn't close your Bible. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. He says, I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. If you take a note, you need to write down, this is the salutation or the greeting. Then you got verse 3. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. In other words, what Paul is saying is that every time I think about you, I thank God for you. First Baptist Church, West College Hill Church family, to include all of our friends and our guests. Because remember, we treat guests and visitors like friends and friends like family. So when I say church family, guess what? That means all of you. Church family, listen. Every time I think about you, I thank God for you. And I thank God for the progress that we are making in Christ Jesus. When I remember where we were 14 years ago and how far we have come, building upon our church history and our rich legacy, now 131 years and counting, we have had some good days, and we certainly have had some hills to climb. But when I look around and when I see all that the Lord has done for us and the process of progress that is being done in us, I just have to thank God for you. And then you look at verse 4. He says, whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Paul says, Sister Stephanie, not only do I thank God for you, because in my time of imprisonment, he's saying, you supported me. I thank God I haven't had to be in prison, but you all have supported me from the very beginning. Amen. Paul says, not only do I thank God for you because of my time in imprisonment, you supported me. He says, but I pray for you and it gives me joy to pray for you. Hebrews 13 and 7 says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable. Watch this for you. Such is the word of God. So church family, and again, when I say that, that means all of you, I pray for you. Even when I don't see you, I pray. A portion of my prayer is, Lord, bless them as they travel on this road of progress. While under construction, give them the ability to be able to stand. And having done all, to stand. Be a fence all around them. Lord, open doors that no man can shut, and shut some doors that no man can open. Whatever it is, Lord, fix it for them. Yes, you need to know that the devil does desire to destroy you and your progress. But I prayed, and I continue to pray, and it gives me joy to pray for you. You best believe that the devil is not going to be happy with your process in your progress. For somebody, he will get you so frustrated that you'll be ready to give up and throw in the towel. He's not caring about how far you've come. He just don't want you to finish. That's what it is. Devil has been fighting to keep you from getting this far. And even as we've gotten this far, not just in ministry, but in life, the devil is still saying, yeah, you've made it this far. And if it was up to me, you wouldn't have made it this far. I'm still going to keep fighting, however, because I don't want you to finish. Watch verse 5. He says, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Church family, again, that means you. Your state of being and your relationship with God, your position in the gospel, your Christian walk, your progress that continues to build day by day by day. Paul is saying, watch this, hear me today when I say this, hear me. Hear this from your under shepherd. Paul is saying, I understand the process of progress. And I'm praying for you that you don't become complacent in the process and settle for less than the best that God has for you. So many times, Miller, we wonder, and people wonder, why does Pastor King always stress coming to church so much? Why does he always stress participating in praise and worship and actively listening to the gospel when the gospel is being preached and served up? Amen. Why is he always telling me that he wants to see me in Sunday school, that he wants to see me in prayer meeting and Bible study? Why is he saying to me constantly that I really don't have a good excuse not to be in church and to give God praise? Why does he stress that I should be in every altar call that is made? Why is he always on me about letting some stuff go in my life, letting some stuff go in my spirit so that I can grow in the favor of the Lord and actually experience holistic healing in my life so I can get better, do better, be better? It's because, just like Paul, I'm just as concerned about your progress while you are under construction. I don't want you to settle for mediocrity, but I want you to continue pressing. And I want you to press for the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I want you to reach for the very best and grab for that which God has for you. And that's why every time we celebrate, we need to take time to celebrate, but we can't necessarily get complacent in what God is doing. God is continuing to build, God is continuing to grow, and even in growth necessitates some change. And so look at verse 6. Verse 6, my brothers and my sisters, is actually the key to this message. It's actually the key to this message that the Lord has placed in my heart coming out of this year's, this particular year's Passover anniversary, in this particular season that we are in. I'm not talking about the fall or the winter. I'm talking about the season of our lives. That the season of our spiritual walk. Talking about the season that we're in as a church, as a body of believers. Amen. Soon heading into the new year and new decade, 2020. Verse 6 says, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you, I'm going to teach that next week, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. There are actually five key points that I'm going to bring from this verse. If you're taking notes, write this down. The number five is usually considered to be a symbol of goodness and the grace of God. There are five key points I'm going to bring just from this verse. And this will be the doctrinal support for everything that I just said to you. It's one thing to get some words spoken, but you got to get some understanding of the word, of the spoken word. Amen. But guess what? That's going to come next week. So you know what that means? You got to come back to church. Dang. Some of y'all say, come on, bruh. I mean, I gave you this week. Matter of fact, I gave you 2 weeks in a row. I was here last week. You're going to have to come back next week. You're going to have to come back to church next week to hear it. But it doesn't mean that you're not praying. It doesn't mean that you don't ask God to illuminate your mind. But yes, there will be some deep digging into that verse 6. So for now, as a part of my close, as I close, I want you to stand to your feet. And so, church family, that means all of you, I want you to say this with me. Let's read it together. It should be up on the screen. You ready? I don't have it all together, but please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. I am in the process of progress. I am under construction. The doors of the church are open, deacons.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.